Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How can you know why you don't know? This is Wretched Radio. That was not a trick statement. How do you know why you don't know? You say, what are we talking about here? The answer is assurance. You don't know that you're saved, but you don't know why you don't know that you're saved. You've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. You believe in him, and yet you didn't believe enough. You didn't repent enough, or you're sinning too much and you think you are suddenly out of the kingdom. You don't know for sure, but we need to figure out why you don't know. How do you do that? If you're one of the myriads, and I mean myriads of Christians who struggles with doubt, ongoing nagging, that you're not saved, you have a lack of assurance, and please note this well. Just because you lack assurance doesn't mean you lack salvation. What it means is you're lacking the full joy of the Lord that you could be experiencing. Just because you doubt, it doesn't mean you're out. Go ahead and tweet that. Somebody please tweet that. Jimmy, that one's yours.
Okay,
if
I'm on
it. If you doubt, doesn't mean you're out, because we can be weak and we can be wobbly-kneed, and you're not alone. But the Lord doesn't want you to stay there. Just because you got lots of company in the land of lack of assurance, it doesn't mean God wants you to stay there. He wants you to enjoy him more fully every day. How can you do that? Well, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a series of introspective questions that you can ask yourself to get to the heart of the matter. I think that's a Don Henley song. Heart of the matter. Very underrated singer. How do you know why you don't know? These questions might help you dig down deep to discern what's going on there so that you can overcome the reason for your lack of certainty. That's crucial, because if you just try to put a Band-Aid on it, if you just try, well, I'm just going to try a mantra, I'll just block the thought. While that can be a helpful exercise, it doesn't get to the root of the issue. We got to go do some heart surgery. Are you ready to go under the knife? Here we go. Question number one. When you think about your salvation, what specific fears or doubts come to mind? Now you're thinking about, I got saved. What pops into your brain? What is the fear? What is the doubt if you lack assurance? Think about it. Ponder this. Is it because you don't have a conversion story? You don't have a testimony? Maybe it's because you don't have a spectacular testimony, which is kind of funny because every testimony is spectacular because God takes a dead person and makes them alive. But you didn't do crack, or at least not much. You weren't a crack addict. So your testimony, it's not that good. And furthermore, I don't know if I know the date of when it happened. I never really experienced something like, whoa, Saul on the road to Damascus. Stop for a second and figure out what it is, because it's going to help you to address it. If you don't know what it is, you can't speak into it. If you can't identify what is the root, how are you possibly going to dig it up when you don't know what you're digging for? So the question again, when you think about your salvation, what specific fears or doubts most often come to mind? Number two, what scriptures give you confidence that you belong to Christ? Which passages trouble you? There are some passages that cause people to stumble. They'll read up probably Hebrews 6. Oh no. Does that mean that I can lose my salvation? Perhaps I have. I just saw a video. There's a young man. It seems he goes out to campuses. He's gained quite a following. And the video was something about somebody approached him. He was kind of doing a Charlie Kirk sort of affair at the campus, sitting there taking questions. And the young man approached him and said, you know, was talking about assurance of salvation, or being able to persevere to the end. So perseverance of the saints. And this young man, he brought out, I believe, Hebrews 6. Like, aha, see right there, you can lose your salvation. Well, aha, that's not what it's talking about. The book of Hebrews is written to at least three different groups of individuals, those who definitely are saved, those who are thinking about it, and those who are rejecting. And it depends on which verse you're in. So the author of Hebrews, Bob, the author of Hebrews was addressing in Hebrews chapter 6, those that were familiar with Christianity, that were pondering Christianity, but they were attracted to Jewish things, meaning temple ceremonies, sacrifices, the festivals. Oh, that's like home for me. That's where I came from. And Bob is saying, don't go back. No. You don't want to go back there. Don't go back there. Come forward. Rest in Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away, doesn't just cover, takes away the sins of the world. So Hebrews 6 shouldn't trip you up, but you need to identify which verse does so you can go after it. And you can figure out what it is actually saying or deal with it through counsel or through study. Number 3, how do you respond when you sin? This is a biggie. What do you, when you sin, now, let me put an adjective. When you commit a big sin, you know the one. It's probably your besetting sin or the thought that you wish never rattled around your noggin. What do you do? What's your reaction specifically toward God? Is it run? Is it flee? Is it push it out of your mind? Is it be quiet? Is it don't communicate with God for several days until maybe it's kind of somehow now you've been, time has purchased your redemption and you can talk to him again? Or maybe he's not so mad at you because you committed your big sin again. What is your sin? And what do you think about God when you commit that sin? And therefore, what is your response? Are you running away or running to? Just heard a snippet. Oh, this is, I just, Milton Vincent. Wow. By the way, if you lack assurance, you need to go hear this whole sermon. We played it here before. It's one of my favorites. It's his teaching on justification. I think it's six points of the doctrine of justification from Romans 5, 1 through 2. We have peace with God. He said it speaks of towardness. You were running from God, but now you're face to face with God because of justification. It brings peace with God, toward God, face to face with God. And guess what? He never turns his face from you. Now, you might try to turn your face from him, but because of Jesus and justification, you are facing toward God. That needs to be embedded into your brain so that you don't think about turning and running. And he wants to hear you when you sin. He wants you to respond, confess your sins. Why? Because he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you run from God? Do you run to God? Number 4, are there any particular sins from your past or present that make you feel disqualified from salvation? Probably that big whopper sin, that besetting sin. Is it tripping you up? Why? Why? Is that sin not forgiven? No, you're probably thinking, yeah, it is, but I shouldn't keep doing it. You're right, you shouldn't. But what is God's attitude toward you when you are fighting against it and you fall? I didn't say that you're diving into a cesspool of sin and you're swimming around doing the backstroke with a Mai Tai on a raft. That's not the heart of the Christian, but that's not what I'm describing. You're warring against sin. You fight sin, you fall to sin. Now, the question is, what is God going to do with that sin? And the answer is, it was already paid for on the cross. If you are in Christ, it can't disqualify you. Number 5, do you believe God's grace is greater than your worst sin? Number 6, how would you distinguish conviction from the Holy Spirit versus condemnation from the enemy or from your own conscience? That could be it, couldn't it? Maybe that's what's going on. How do you distinguish conviction from the Holy Spirit? Because remember, If you're feeling bad after your sin, good. You should. Even if you're tempted by it and you're entertaining it and you feel conviction, praise God for that. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit. But it's possible also that your mind is also perhaps making the sin greater than it is, putting the sin out of the reach of God's grace, or inflating the sin to the degree where you feel like it has condemned you. That's you. It's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't tell you, oh, you're not saved anymore. Because when he saved you, he sealed you, and he can't unsave you, because you have been justified. You have been declared righteous. A proclamation was made in heaven that was heard throughout the universe that said righteous when you got saved. And God can't go back on that. You're in. You're in. You're in. And if you're being convicted of your sin, be careful it's not just you, because if it's been just you condemning yourself all along, then you need to stop listening to you. But if it's conviction by the Holy Spirit, then you should stop and say, this doesn't mean I'm not saved. It is actually a sign that I've been regenerated. How are you doing? Are we getting anywhere near the aorta? That's the only heart term I could think of. This is Wretched Radio.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Hu is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Hu, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least 6 of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content on theology, marriage, parenting, manhood, cultural issues, stuff that actually matters. And you know what? We keep adding more. Yeah, of course, you could scroll through Netflix for like 45 minutes looking for something that won't rot your brain, or you could pull up Fortis Plus and learn something that'll actually help you be a better husband, dad, or Christian by the time the credits roll. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free, and it's on your TV. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched 3 times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland, a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
changes. And my friends seem to scatter, but I think it's about
the harmony.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even if you don't love me anymore.
So effortless. This is Wretched Radio, trying to get down to the heart of the matter. Why you lack assurance. Why do we bang this drum regularly? Because there are so many people who need to hear it banged. I think that's the right verb tense. You need to understand why you are having those feelings. You've got to get to the heart of the matter. To do that, I have some questions that you can ask yourself. Don't worry, you don't have to pass your paper forward. This is between you and the Lord. Be as introspective as you can possibly be. These are intended to help you discover that's it. That's why. It's that issue right there. Question number, whatever we're on. Do you tend to compare your spiritual life with other believers? Uh-oh, you could be in trouble from a lot of different perspectives. First of all, you can start comparing your spiritual life to others and conclude, I think I'm doing pretty well. Uh-oh. Look out, danger. you're gonna be in trouble with that one. On the other hand, most likely, if you are one who struggles with assurance, you see other people and it seems like they read their Bible all the time, every day, all day. That's all they do. They never seem to sin. Everything seems to be right in their world. Don't compare yourself to others because you don't know the struggles that they have. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Furthermore, it's just not helpful. It just doesn't help to compare. Because truthfully, if you're going to compare your spirituality to anybody else's, you need to compare it to Jesus. And wow, do you fall short? And that's when you go running to that Jesus who welcomes you and says, yeah, I get it. I understand. I'm a sympathetic high priest and I just keep on forgiving you. I keep on sustaining you because I know your faith is weak. He is strong. You are weak. And to simply compare yourself to others, you're just going to hear nothing but condemnation, not encouragement. Be careful how you do that, if you do it. Number, what role do emotions play in your assurance? Do you equate feeling saved with actually being saved? I just don't feel saved. I'll never forget the first time that I heard a very famous radio guy say, you know, sometimes I pray and I just feel like my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. And what does that feel like exactly? Tell me about that feeling. Because the Christian's prayers don't bounce off the ceiling. They're efficacious because of Jesus. So what is that feeling? What is it supposed to feel like for God to hear your prayers? What does it feel like to be saved? Do you walk around and you just got a little tingle? Just a little, I've got a little buzz nobody else has. What does it feel like to be saved? Feelings do not determine your salvation. Now, it is true that there are times we need to deal with conviction. It is true that if we are lacking joy down in our heart, that we need to address that and perhaps be more disciplined. But don't let feelings make the final declaration about the status of your soul. Your feelings, they have no jurisdictional power, judicial, that would be better, judicial power. They can't slam the gavel and say, yep, you feel right, you're saved. Instead, you need to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says that if you turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved. Let the declarative words of Scripture confirm that God has saved you, not your feelings. Number 10, I think. Are there unresolved patterns of disobedience or secret sin that may be affecting your fellowship with God? I think that I've shared this before, but nevertheless, it is so constant. I get emails from young men saying, hey, I'm really struggling with assurance. And the email will be longer, it'll be shorter, more or less details. And my response will be a single sentence. Are you looking at porn? And I don't think that there's ever been a time that somebody who has written in, who's struggling with assurance, didn't say yes. Why? Because they go hand in hand. Sin will do that, especially sexual sin. It's a special category sin and how it affects us, because it's so precious, and God wants you to use that joy in a particular way. And when you are doing something that is so bad and so bad for you, it affects you in profound ways. And one of those ways, lack of assurance. So do you have an ongoing sin? That could be why you're lacking assurance. So what do you need to do to have assurance? Stop that sin. But that's too simple. No, I don't think so. I am quite certain. I think it was Paul Washer who came up with this illustration. And you could do a variation on the theme. But I think he said, you struggle with pornography. And you say you just can't stop it. What if I offered you $1 million to not touch it for the next 48 hours? Could you pull it off? Then the answer is, yeah, you could. Why? Because you want the $1 million more than you want the porn. The problem is right now you want the porn more than you want holiness, more than you want Jesus, more than you want to be a vessel set apart. You can stop sinning. The challenge for you is that you need an object more worthy of your affection and devotion. And sometimes this is where people get tripped up. Well, okay, well, that I know the answer to that. It should be Jesus. So then if I'm tripping up, that must mean I don't believe in Jesus. No, that's not what it means. What it means is you need to elevate your esteem of Jesus to the point where porn is like, I'd rather have the $1 million. I'd rather have Jesus than that. We talk about that, by the way. If you're one who struggles with pornography, play the man. It's on fortisplus.org. It's totally free. We have a video version. Jimmy, is that thing 2 hours? Do I remember that?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, we did that together. That was 2 hours long. Mm. You can watch it. You can read it. It's there. I think it's even been translated into Spanish, if I'm not mistaken. It helps you to see that you need a greater affection for Jesus. And what does that do? It diminishes your affection for sin. And when that happens, you'll stop sinning as much. And guess what you're going to have? More assurance. Question number 11. How do you understand adoption? Do you believe that God relates to you as a loving father? This is why the paucity of preaching on the doctrine of adoption is such a tragedy for the evangelical church. It is a glorious doctrine. You're a son or daughter, period. You can't get out. You can't get out of the family. You just can't. Now, you can run away and you can be a rascal for a short season, but you can't get out of the family, and you wouldn't want to anyway. You've been adopted. Do you know that? Number 12. Have you experienced legalistic teaching, spiritual abuse, or just really bad representations, bad views of God that could possibly contribute to your fears? So in other words, you've got some theological issues, or you were maybe abused spiritually, or you were abused physically by somebody who claimed to be spiritual. I don't know that it gets any more wicked than that, frankly. Or legalistic teaching. And that remnant, it just, you can't scrub it off. I gotta do stuff. Oh, if I did that, then I'm in really big trouble. That could be affecting your lack of assurance. What are we doing? We're going down to the heart. What's there? That's what these questions are for. When you read passages about perseverance, apostasy, or judgment, how do you interpret them? Do you think you can lose your salvation? Then you will forever think you have. It's just natural. Because the reality is, the honest observer of oneself when it comes to keeping themselves secure through their works, anybody who's honest will realize, haven't, can't, don't, fail, I'm out. And you will be perpetually miserable and lacking assurance. If a struggling believer came to you with the same fears you have, what counsel would you give them from Scripture? That's a really helpful question, isn't it? Because now, if you can discover what those verses are, guess who you should apply those verses to? Yourself. And furthermore, those verses probably help to identify what's going on at the heart level, what needs to be corrected, what needs to be rebuked, what needs to be encouraged, what needs to be comforted. If you lack assurance, God will help you. But you can't keep skimming the surface. You got to go down deep. If you know somebody who's struggling with assurance, these are the types of questions that you have to ask them. By the way, we got through 13 or 14. I've got 16 more. And each one of them is just a different angle. It's a different approach. Why? Because you've got to figure out the root. And then once you put an axe to it, you can replace it with a correct biblical root and have the correct fruit of assurance. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.